Mr. Hyde. This is what I've been working on for the last year or so, up to now. So the website, as you can see, can't be confused with a website. That's the most important thing on email publications, is to make sure people aren't confused about whether it's a website or an email. It's very clearly a sign-up page for a high-end email. You can't find yourself suddenly reading content and thinking, well, you know, where am I in this world? What we did was we put a very clear archive of previous issues. There's no point in splitting up. What lots of people do, which I think is a mistake, is doing an email, but then splitting up that content and putting it on a website. But actually, advertisers and the people you're writing about don't want that. They want to be kept in exactly the arena they were originally published in. So that's what we did. So you can go through Mr. Hyde and look at previous issues. So this is what an email looks like. It's not a brilliant example, typically. So as you can see, it's like a standalone mini magazine. So as you scroll down, you have feature one. This is your main story at the top. Then Mr. Hyde has a regular that they call Urban Carnivore. That's in every day. That's about meat, essentially, you can eat in London. And then two little down pages. So it's just it's a mini magazine sent out every day. And it's important to have a mix. So, you know, if the top story is about film, you won't have film down here. You'll have a cocktail or, you know, a new exhibition, a gallery or whatnot. And you get that every day. And then there's just a few links here to other cool things we'd found. And it was all about creating a very cool arena. So you see the illustrations here. We spent ages trying to find the person to illustrate, to create that high-end feel. And it really generates what's very important in an email, is this feeling of being in a club. So you've signed up for it and you're one of few people who receive this very cool free thing that keeps you in the know about wonderful things to do in London or Birmingham, hopefully.
Can I just ask, your layout, is this something that's built into the website or is it a reader that you're using?
This is hard-coded, so this was built for Shortlist Media to look this beautiful. I can't afford something like that. I'm using MailChimp, which isn't ugly, certainly not ugly, and is a lot more flexible than something that's hard-coded. So first issue of I Choose Birmingham will look... So this is my sign-up page. Sorry, everyone. This is my sign-up page. So as you can see, I learnt the same lesson we learnt at Shortlist Media, that it's got to be very clearly a sign-up page. Let's not anyone confuse this for a website. And my email looks like this. So you can see it on the right-hand side. It's a similar format, but I can play with it because it's MailChimp. I can do all sorts of different things. I've got three down pages and one lead story, which is about a guy that smokes ribs in a filing cabinet in Digbeth every Friday. I haven't got a regular there yet, but I'll think about putting a regular in. And MailChimp allows you to do all sorts of fun things, so that's just the formatting changes you can make to your regular. It's quite cool in that it shows you how it will look on mobile as well, but because it's quite slow internet. Yeah, so you can see on the left there, it shows you how it's going to look on mobile.
Does this literally create like the PDFs for you then, essentially, without you? Do you have to create a PDF first and then put it in? Or
absolutely. Yeah. It's just drag and drop editing. So you literally tell MailChimp, I want an image here and copy below that image. And then I want to split it into three columns with an image at the top and copy below. It's incredibly simple, incredibly cost effective, and looks nice. So step one for me was branding, so I went out and got the only thing I've spent really is on getting a logo. And the more subscribers you get, the more you have to pay MailChimp, but nothing concerning until you're in the tens of thousands, and then hopefully you've got the advertising to back that up. So at the moment, no ads on here because it needs to look as beautiful as it can. because it's a bit chicken and egg. No one wants to advertise on an email that's got 100 subscribers. But what I'm good at is getting a shed load more than 100 subscribers, and then we go to advertise and say, look, this is now a proposition.
The question I was going to ask was, how are you getting the subscribers? You said you've got a sign-up page.
Yeah.
But I guess it's probably the silly question, but you know, how are you finding the subscribers, and do they pay to subscribe, or do they?
So it will always be free, and that's the key to the internet and the key to the freemium magazine market. My two backgrounds coming together, and that you'll never charge people for something that's brilliant, and that's something we learned from the internet. The internet came from geeks who like to share brilliant stuff free, and it was born off the back of that. So charging, like the Sun and the Times are doing, for many is a bit, that's very bizarre. So revenue will only ever come from advertising.
So that's further down the line, so you'll sort of keep it going, set it all up, and then eventually further down the line the income will start to come in from
absolutely
that.
Absolutely right. So I've got to be willing to take a hit for the first few months, putting my time and effort into this, but it will benefit me 3 or 4 months' time when I'm hopefully in the tens of thousands of subscribers. Particularly in Birmingham, where people are now a lot more active than they used to be, and they're under-sourced on things like this. One thing you said was, how am I going to drive subscribers? It sounds corny, but word of mouth will always be the biggest driver for things like this, without a shadow of a doubt. And obviously there's no marketing budget, so I've got to rely on that. But also, I spent the first 2 months from arriving in Birmingham speaking to... So I have 100 subscribers, but they're kind of big subscribers. You know, they're radio DJs that host breakfast shows, and they're kind of the movers and shakers in Birmingham, so that when issue one is out, they can all shout about it. And then, of course, you get the social pushes. So you ask these guys to then start tweeting about it. I asked the guy that smoked his ribs in a filing cabinet to push that through his social channels. I asked the guy that runs the Digbeth Dining Club to make sure he pushes that through his social channels. And everyone that's on here, the guy that smokes his ribs in the filing cabinet has also given me the 3 street food vendors he eats at, because he's the expert. He's always at street food. And then these 3 all tweet about it and Facebook push it, number C, so on and so forth. You get a bit of viral traction there.
Further down the line, can you see that being a bit of an issue, in that essentially what you'll be asking them to do is share the same web page rather than, say, a new content? Because obviously the content's kind of semi-hidden by, because it's emails, directly emails. You're not sharing, here's the latest blog post, which is about this thing that might be of interest. Yeah.
I think I get your question. Each email gets its own URL, so it will always be a fresh URL that's tweeted or Facebook pushed.
Right.
And the key is to push I Choose Birmingham before the issue is out, so get these guys to say, sign up to tomorrow's I Choose to find out where the best burger in Birmingham is, and then the day after or the day of, get the best burger in Birmingham to tweet the URL that goes straight to the article, okay? So it's sign up before, and then it's make the most of it after by getting more people to sign up for the next one. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, sorry. So obviously the issues themselves go live simultaneously, as well as not just an archive, they also go live simultaneously to their own webpage.
Simultaneously, when I hit publish, when I hit send, yes. Okay. I choose when it goes on the archive. And not many people know that it has its own URL. I mean, but obviously there's the Facebook and Twitter buttons on every issue, so if they want to shout about it, they can. So it's not being afraid of the fact that people can visit it without signing up. It's impressing them enough to think, actually, I'd quite like the daily reminder that that's going to land in my inbox, rather than every now and then I'll see someone has tweeted it and then I'll see it and remember I like that. Okay. Does that make sense?
No, that's fine. And do you see, with regards to email as well, obviously Gmail has changed the way it works recently, where you have obviously your personal, that it decides is personal email, your social and promotional email.
Yeah.
Do you see, obviously that's kind of filters a lot of potential readers out, really. Yeah. Do you see that as an issue?
Yes. So the way around that is, anyone that signs up for I Choose Birmingham with Gmail gets an email that shows them very simply how to move it straight in. So it's just a screen grab of your Gmail, and it just says, we've noticed you're on Gmail. Hopefully you'll like this enough just to switch it to your primary email. But it worried everyone on email when it first happened, absolutely. And everyone's still trying to work out how do we get people to shift us over to their primary email? Again, if the content's good enough, you'd really hope that one read and they'll switch it over. But it did send a few shockwaves through.